Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a DVD study kit that will inspire and encourage you in your walk with the Lord called Everything is Possible with God. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You Feel You're Sinking.
I want us to look at a miracle that is actually recorded three times in the Bible. Matthew records it, Mark records it, and John records it. It is the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. Now, why did Jesus do this? Jesus never did a miracle to show off. In fact, nobody saw this miracle except the disciples. It was only for them. And he did it intentionally to teach them about how to trust God in tough times, in a storm, when you feel like you're sinking. Now, the background of the miracle we're going to look at today is this. That afternoon, Jesus had done one of the greatest miracles that had spread all over Israel. Everybody knew about this soon. And that was the feeding of 5,000 people. Actually, it was more like 15,000 because the Bible says that a large crowd had gathered to hear Jesus. And at the end of the day, they were hungry and there were no McDonald's around. And they said, anybody got any food? And one little boy had brought a lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And it says that there were 5,000 men. Now, wherever you got 5,000 men, you've got at least 10,000 women and children. So we really should call it the feeding of the 15,000. And Jesus miraculously breaks the bread and the fish and feeds them and distributes it. And when it's over, the crowd is going berserk. They are crazy to make Jesus the king of Israel. They're not interested in being a spiritual Messiah. They want him to overthrow Rome. They want to elect him right now. And all of a sudden, this miracle turns political because somebody's giving them something for their stomach. And they want to rise up and revolt against Rome. They want to make Jesus instantly king, and the thing turns political. And Jesus knows, I didn't come here for political reasons, so I'm out of here. So Jesus says, I'm going to head up to the mountain, and I'm going to pray for a while by myself, which is a good thing to do after you've had a great success in your life. But then he also tells the disciples, I want you to get in the boat. And he immediately sends them up to Bethsaida. Now, this miracle had happened by the Sea of Galilee. And Bethsaida is just a little town about 2 hours up the road, up the coastline. And so they're not going to have to cross the entire lake. They just hover up near the edge, and they'll be there in a couple hours. Jesus says, go on up to Bethsaida, and I'll be there in a little bit, and I'll see you there. But I'm going to go pray. Now, we pick up the story in Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately, after this miracle of feeding the 5,000, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. Now, after leaving them, he went up alone on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat, which had all the disciples in it, was in the middle of the lake. Now, what in the world is it doing in the middle of the lake? This is miles the wrong direction. All he needed to do is just go north up the coastline. But Jesus is alone on the land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, this story is told, as I said, in Matthew, in Mark, and in John. So we get details through all three. And what we discover is a storm came up. Not a little teeny tiny storm, a typhoon, a tsunami. A hurricane gale force storm. And their intended direction gets blown off course, and they're out in the middle of the lake, in the middle of a giant sea, actually, is what it is, and they can't get back to shore. Now, they've been straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, that's 3 to 6 a.m. in the morning, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Okay. Now, he was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. I mean, you don't normally see people walking by your boat when you're in the middle of a lake at night. So they think it's a ghost. And they cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. Now, immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." We'll come back to that in a minute when you're going through a storm. Then he climbed, Jesus climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. The Bible tells us in other passages, the storm stopped instantly. Now, they were completely amazed, the disciples, by this, for they had not understood about the loaves. In other words, they hadn't learned the lesson of the previous miracle, so they were still not figuring out what he was doing here. Their hearts were hardened. Now, what's going on here? Jesus intentionally sends the disciples into a storm. He knows it's going to be a storm because he knows everything. But he has a lesson of faith he wants to teach them, a lesson about what do you do when you feel you're sinking? What do you do when you feel you're going under? What do you do when the waves are batting up against you and over you and in your boat? What do you do and how do you trust God? We're going to look at that today. But before we do, I want to give you quickly five signs when you're sinking. You may not realize it when you're sinking. You may be sinking financially. You may be sinking relationally. You may be sinking emotionally. You know, you're just drained. You feel like, I'm going under. Well, there are five symptoms of that. And here are the symptoms. You might write these down. First, I know I'm sinking when I can't see my way. When I can't see my way. I just feel like I'm in the dark. I'm in a cloud. I don't have any clarity. I don't have any vision. I'm confused. The Bible says in John 6, by now it was dark. Now, most of you have never, ever been in complete, total darkness. If you lived in America your entire life, it's pretty doubtful. Because even if you're out in the desert, you can usually see a radio tower light or some farm light. We have electricity everywhere. It's almost impossible to get somewhere where it's totally dark. But 2,000 years ago in Israel, without electricity, if you're in the middle of a lake and storm clouds have completely covered all of the moon and all the stars, it's pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of you. And one of the first characteristics of you going under is you can't see your way. Second, I know I'm sinking when I feel I'm on my own. When I feel that I'm on my own, when I feel alone, that I'm rowing against the storm, but I'm doing it all by myself and nobody else is helping me and I don't know where God is. I feel out of touch with God. The Bible says in John 6, Jesus had not yet joined them. Now, we always get into trouble when we're away from Jesus, but Jesus actually did this intentionally. He sent them ahead of him to Bethsaida. When you feel like you're on your own, you start getting a little frightened. Number three, I'm going to be sinking when I feel I'm out of my comfort zone. When I'm out of my comfort zone. When I start to feel a little insecure. The Bible tells us the boat was in the middle of the lake. Now, when you're in the middle of a lake, now this is a giant lake. It's a Tahoe size. It's like Caspian Sea. It's called the Sea of Galilee. And when you're in the middle of a lake, that means you're as far away as you can get from shore. So they couldn't, if they're in this storm, they can't just bail out of the boat and swim back to shore. They're miles out, way off course. Maybe you felt like you've been blown off course by a conflict or blown off course by a fear of something happening. And so your plans are all off course, but they're out in the middle. The Bible says they were a long way from shore. They're certainly out of their comfort zone, and they're in the middle of a storm. Number four. Strong forces are against me. I feel like I'm sinking when strong forces are against me. The Bible tells us that they were tossed and battered around by the waves in Matthew. John tells us the waves, the waters grew rough. Mark chapter 6 says the wind was against them. The word that's actually used here in Greek where it says the waters and the waves are rough is the word megas. We get the word mega from it. Mega store, mega church. It means gigantic. This is a mega storm. It's not some little spring storm. This is a tsunami. This is hurricane gale force. Now, actually, this was quite common in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is in the northern part of Israel, and up in the northern part of Israel, at the north end, are the Golan Heights. You've probably heard of this. It's a very disputed territory, the Golan Heights off of Syria and Lebanon, and that's very high mountains, and cold air comes off those mountains and goes straight into the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is actually about 700 feet below sea level, so it's very warm. And the water and the weather is warm. When that cold air hits the hot air, it often causes major storms. So this is not an uncommon thing, but it is a scary thing that's going on here. And they're not just having a little storm in their life. They're having a mega storm. Some of you are right now going through mega storm. You're out of work, or your marriage is strained, and you're worried at night and you can't get to sleep, things like that. The fifth thing, how do I know when I'm sinking? I can't see my way. I feel I'm on my own. I'm out of my comfort zone. Strong forces are against me. Number five, I'm struggling, but I'm failing. I'm doing my best, but I'm still going under. I'm straining. I'm struggling. I'm rowing the boat, but I'm not getting back to safety. I'm not getting back to shore. I'm not making any progress. Mark 6, verse 48 says, they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the winds and the waves. I know many of you are feeling this way these days. You're in serious trouble. You've been trying to get out of debt, but you're going further in debt. You've been trying to get a job, but it's not there. You've been trying to make your marriage work. You've been trying to find a mate for life. Whatever it is. Something that you need in your life is not there. Or some problem just won't seem to crack. And you're feeling all of these things. You're struggling, but you're failing. What does God want you to do in that situation? More important, what does God do in this situation? Now, I don't know what kind of problem you're going through. I don't know what the storms are in your life. I don't know what area of your life you feel you're sinking in. But I do know this. When we go through tough problems, we typically think that God has forgotten us. We think that God is not aware, that he's a million miles away, that he's not doing anything about what we're going through, because if he were, we think we'd be going through smooth sailing. Nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is, every time you go through a storm, God is doing four things. You need to write these down. We find them illustrated in this story of Jesus walking on water. Every time you're going through a storm. First, Jesus prays for me before it happens. Even before I hit the storm, Jesus prays for me before I get into it. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus was up on the mountain praying for his disciples as he sent them out into the storm. Now remember, he had planned this crisis in advance, and he planned the miracle, and he wanted his disciples to grow. He actually told them to get in the boat, and he sent them into the storm. Now most of the time in life, when we're going through problems, pressures, difficulties, things like that, it's because of our disobedience. It's the number one cause. When I don't do what God tells me to do, I always get into trouble. When I ignore what God tells me to do, when I ignore what he wants me to do, it causes trouble in my life. Disobedience causes storms. But sometimes you do the right thing. Sometimes you obey what God tells you to do. You listen to his voice, and it still sends you into a storm. Some of the storms in your life doesn't necessarily mean you're sinning. It may mean you followed what God told you to do. Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat and head out into the lake, knowing that a typhoon was coming. He knew it in advance. because he was going to teach them some lessons they could learn no other way. This is one of the great lessons of Job. Job had done nothing wrong in his life, and yet over a period of a couple days, he lost his entire family. He lost his entire wealth. His wife stayed alive, but he lost all of his kids. He lost his health. He lost his reputation. He lost his power, all in just a matter of days. And Job had no idea what was going on. And now the Bible tells us Job had done nothing wrong. In fact, God says Job was a blameless man. He was a righteous dude. He wasn't some big, evil, wicked, mean, bad, nasty, you know, sinner type person. He was a righteous person. He was a good man. He treated people with dignity and justice, and he was kind. And yet the worst that could possibly happen happened to him. And Job says this in Job 19, verse 8, here on the screen. God has blocked my way and plunged my path into darkness. I have no doubt some of you feel that way. God has blocked my way. I want to get married, but I haven't. I want to have a baby, but I haven't. I need a job, but I haven't got one. I want to go to school, but I can't. I have this dream, but nothing's happened. God has blocked my way, and I am in darkness. Let me just say this. Some storms that you go through, we're just not going to understand till we get to heaven. So you might as well try to give up. God doesn't owe you an explanation for everything that happens in your life. He wants you to learn to live by faith, and he's not going to explain everything. And so you can spend all your time saying why, and you're not always going to get the answers. But you can know this, that Jesus prays for me before it happens. Now follow me on this. God obviously knows everything that's going to happen. God is timeless. He knows the past, the present, and the future all at once. He is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. So God already knows what's going to happen in your life this afternoon. He knows what's going to happen in your life this next week, this next month, this next year, and the next decade, and the rest of your life. He already knows. That's why you'll never hear God go, wow, I didn't know that. You're never going to hear God say, oops, or man, that one caught me by surprise. Wow, I never figured she'd do that. No, God is never disappointed, because disappointment means you didn't expect it to happen. God already knows everything that's going to happen in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, the good news of this is he can pray about it before it happens to you. You say, wait a minute, God prays? You mean God talks to himself? Oh, you never talk to yourself? You talk to yourself all the time. And when God talks to yourself, it's prayer. Himself. It's prayer. As a dad, I often talk to myself about my kids all the time. And God talks to himself about you all the time. And when God talks to himself, that's called praying to himself, because it's prayer. Just like Jesus was up on the mountain praying for those disciples who were out in the storm, he's already prayed for you through the storms you're going to go through this week, this month, and this year. You know, one time, the night before Jesus was to go to the cross, he's with his 12 disciples, and Peter's kind of bragging, and he says, Lord, I would die for you. I would die for you. Now, Jesus loves Peter, but he also knows he's a little impulsive. He says, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before tomorrow morning. Why? He already knew it. But he said, don't worry about it. Because I've already prayed for you. I've already prayed for you, Peter, that God, that you'll be strong through this, that you won't lose your faith through it. And when you come back to me after you repent of having denied me, which I know you're going to do, use your example to strengthen other people who are going through tough times. Here's what he said. Look at the next verse, Luke 22, 32. Jesus said, Peter, I have prayed for you that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be strong when you come back to me. He tells this to Peter right after he says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to deny me three times. What had Jesus done? He'd already prayed for Peter in the storm he was going to go through. And the point is, Jesus has already prayed for me through what I'm going to go through this year. And Jesus has already prayed for you and what you're going to go through this year. In fact, what is Jesus doing right now? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, what is Jesus doing in heaven? Playing cards? I mean, really, what's he doing in heaven right now? He came to earth, died on the cross for our sins, rose again to show that he was who he said he was, the Son of God, goes back to heaven. The Bible says that right now, while he's in heaven, Jesus' job is praying for his children. That's what he's doing for you. He is interceding. That means when you talk to somebody else on the behalf of someone else, he's interceding for you. Look at this verse, Romans 8:34. When you're going through tough times, when you're being tempted, when you're failing, when you're losing your faith, it says, who condemns us? Well, not Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus, who died and then was raised back to life and is now, notice, at the right side of God, interceding for us. Circle is now and circle interceding. That's what Jesus is doing. He's praying for you to make it through your storms. He is now interceding for us. Now, it's great to have people praying for you. I love it when you pray for me. In fact, I can feel it. And when people don't pray for me, I can tell the difference when I'm being prayed for and when I'm not. I can tell that difference. It's one thing to have people pray for you, but how'd you like to have the Son of God praying for you? That's a good thing. Why? Because his prayers are always answered. And the Bible says no matter what you're going through right now, Jesus is praying for you. He's on your side. If you've trusted him as your Savior, one of the things he's doing is interceding for you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time today, but first, how's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Did you know that God says you get to choose how much he blesses your life? God says, you believe and I'll bless. Our part is to believe, his part is to bless. And the Bible says in Matthew 9:29, this is a direct quote from Jesus, according to your faith, it will be done to you. That's the key to starting the great adventure of following Jesus Christ in faith. So, if faith is so important, how does God build your faith? Well, he starts with a dream. And then he uses a very predictable six-step method, and he's used it throughout history, to lead you to fulfilling that dream. And that process always results in building up your character and your faith in him. When you understand this process, then you can cooperate with it. Now, to help you understand the way that God builds your faith, I want to send you a study kit. It's called Everything is Possible with God. And it's a DVD and a study guide that will teach you how to cooperate with God's six phases of faith as he builds your character, deepens your faith, and enlarges your trust in him. And I want to send this study to you. This kit, just as my thank you for your donation to Daily Hope. I just want to say again that it is your financial generosity that makes it possible for me to teach you and to teach other people all around the world. You know, this broadcast is going to places like refugee camps where they can't afford to pay for any broadcast at all. And when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping take the message of Christ to people who have no possible means of supporting it. So let me send this Everything is Possible with God study kit to you as just my way of sincerely saying to you, thank you.
In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.